Hey, Bert, Pastor Kevin here. Thanks for joining us online today. We're going to be in part two today of our series about Empowered for Mission, and we're looking at Acts chapter 2. So if you have a Bible, turn there. It will be on the screen. We're going to be looking at chapter 2, 1 through 13 of Acts, and talking about Pentecost today and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And what does that mean? What does that look like? And remember, in our context, last week we talked about Jesus has said to his disciples, hey, I need you to wait because I'm going to go. And he ascends and he says, I want you to wait because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he's going to empower you, the dunamis power, to be witnesses. And so, but wait in that, wait together. And then you can do the mission that I've called you to do. And so we're going to be looking at that moment where the waiting is done and the Holy Spirit comes and what happens and what does that mean for us today? And so that's my heart of the message today, is to help you and I see what it means to be filled up and what do we do with that? What do we do with the Holy Spirit and his empowerment, right? So we're going to be looking at that today. Imagine if you will, you come upon a town at night that appears to have no lights. No televisions, no computer monitors glowing, like it's dark. And you're like, that's weird. Like there's no lights in, there's no street lights, there's nothing. And so you're seeing this and going, what's going on? The power, obviously, something happened with the power plant. Well, you find out that the power is, there's full power coming to the city, to this town, but yet nobody's turned on any of their appliances. They haven't turned on their microwaves, their alarm clocks, their computers, their TVs. All the power is shut off on the actual devices. And you're like, that seems silly, Kevin. That seems weird. That makes no sense. Right. So the power is fully coming to their home, but even though they're plugged in, they haven't turned anything on. And sometimes I think that's a bit how the church is that we've got access to all the power in the Holy Spirit available to us, yet we're not utilizing it, not accessing it fully, living Spirit-led, filled up, baptized lives to be on mission and to walk out this life. We're relying too much on our own strength, too much on that. And of course, we're not that strong. We're decently strong, but we're not anywhere strong enough to walk out this Christian life and be empowered in our own strength to do it. We need the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And so if you have your Bible, turn to Acts 2, 1 to 3. This is the day of Pentecost had fully come and they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. One sat upon each of them. All right, so let's talk about a few of the lines in here. First of all, the day of Pentecost. This was a Jewish feast held 50 days after Passover. It celebrated the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And later on in Jewish history, they were celebrating the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. And then 50 days after Exodus of God's people from slavery in Egypt. Now, this is one of three annual Jewish harvest festivals at Pentecost is. And, you know, really, it was a great celebration because it was the one that celebrated payday, in a sense, that the harvest had come in, and so it was one of the best attended feasts. And so the Jewish people would come in from all the places they had scattered to, different countries, communities, towns, way far away. They'd come back to Jerusalem and have this incredible feast and celebration. And so that's the context of this. The day of Pentecost had fully come. They were there, and the city would have been just packed with people. As a matter of fact, there's different scholars think different numbers, but let's just say it was originally like Jerusalem was about 30,000 people, but when the Pentecost happened, it would go to at least 150 plus. Some have estimated up to a million. That seems maybe a little much, but let's just imagine it went from 30,000 to 200,000, for instance. I mean, that's massive growth. That's massive influx of people. And so the place was humming. It was just packed. And if you imagine that in our LC Valley, Lewis and Clarkson Valley, where we live, that would be like going from 50,000 to 250,000 people in a short period, a week or two. Can you imagine that kind of influx of people? There'd be people everywhere. There'd be people camping in the parks. It would just be amazing. And so and every home would be full. It would be fun, I think, crazy, but fun. And so they're gathered together, and it says that the people, the followers of Jesus, were gathered together in one place, and because Jesus has said, wait. And so they've been worshiping, they've been praying, and he said there's a 10-day period where they're waiting and praying, fellowshipping, worshiping God, and still not exactly knowing when it was all going to happen. And boom, on that 10th day, boom, there suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And so let me give you just a couple thoughts, three thoughts. The first one is that the Spirit-filled life is for now. Look at verse 2 again. It says this. It says, and then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So if you can just imagine the sound of a freight train. I don't know if you've ever been on a train near a train track, but a freight train, a huge train, a big train coming just full force, at full speed, just and notice that it says it's the sound, a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. So it wasn't a physical wind blowing, but it was the sound of wind. And I think it's interesting to note, and it says it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So it was so loud that nobody could ignore it. It was, and that sound from heaven really got their attention, and it would have really got their attention, and they would have known that sound of a mighty rushing wind would have been a nod to the Holy Spirit, and because of the breath of God in the Greek and the Hebrew. The word for spirit or Holy Spirit is the same word for breath or wind. And so in the Hebrew, it's ruach, ruach. It's a very guttural, throaty sound. And in Greek, it's pneuma. And that sound of mighty rushing wind, it's again, not a literal wind, but the sound of it. And this would have been a nod back to Genesis 1 and 2 when the breath and wind of God was blowing over the waters at the newly created earth. In Genesis 2:7, life being breathed into the newly created man. Ezekiel 37, that passage about the dry bones, when the breath of God would have and the wind of God would have been moving over the dry bones of Israel, bringing them life and strength and all the putting the bones together. And so even if we go to the New Testament, Jesus and Nicodemus passage in John 3, 5 to 8, he says this, Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So that conversion, surrender, when you surrender your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit makes your spirit come alive and you're born again. It says, verse 7 says, so don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind, there it is, the wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. So the Jewish people would have been when that sound of the rushing wind came in to the gathering of all those people that had been waiting for the Spirit to be poured out, They would have known, Holy Spirit's here. Holy Spirit's here. And so they get the auditory, they get the hearing side of it. And it says in verse 2 that it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And so that, I just can't, you know, can imagine that sound of a freight train or a hurricane or just, you can't not pay attention, right? And then verse 3 says, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. Imagine being in the room. And not only you've heard, now you've got the sound of the rushing wind, but then all of a sudden you see the fire. Like I look over to the person near me and I'm looking across and like, there's like a lick of fire on top of their heads. It's like their hair's not burning, but there's fire up there. And how cool is that? Like, as a matter of fact, even Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist prophecy says, John Baptist says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. Speaking of Jesus, he said, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So that symbol of the fire is again representative, not just the wind representing the Holy Spirit, but the sound of the wind, but also the fire. And so that licks of fire, that's just such a cool visual over the 120-ish that were there in the room that day. And it's a picture of purification, of ignition, of boldness, of an empowered for missional living. And it says in verse 3 that the Holy Spirit sat upon each of them. And that word sat in the New Testament, it carries the idea of completion of preparation. When the fire lick was just like just sitting and just kind of hovering. I don't know how to represent fire with my hand like this, maybe. It's like, whoo, it was boom. Okay, it's complete. The Holy Spirit's here. Poof. And he's like, you're ready to go. You're on mission. You're empowered and to fulfill what I've called you to do. And so, I think what's important to note here is that it wasn't one huge, large flame over the whole group. It was an individual flame over each person. Now, this would have been important because under the old covenant, the Holy Spirit rested on God's people more as a nation, as the nation of Israel, rested on the whole people. But under the new covenant, the Holy Spirit rests upon God's people as individuals. We're working together as the church, but the Holy Spirit is poured out. And why is this? Well, us on individuals, because in the Old Testament, God had to build them a large temple that God could dwell in with the people as a group. That's Exodus 25:8. It says, let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. But because Jesus finished work on the cross, right, he says that actually our bodies, that torn veil, our bodies have become the temple of the Holy Spirit that he dwells in. And so, matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says that. It says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of what? Of the Holy Spirit who is in you, and whom you have from God, and that you are not your own. So the Holy Spirit, when you surrender your life to Christ at conversion, you get the Holy Spirit, right? And he dwells in us. That's what Jesus said. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna send the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's gonna be able to dwell in each of you. And so that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the moment where it happened. Boom, the sound of the rushing wind and the fire. And then they're like, the Holy Spirit's here. I mean, they could feel it, they could sense it, but they're seeing it, they're hearing it. All the senses are stimulated completely. And so the Spirit-filled life is for now. Secondly, the Spirit-filled life is a growing life. Look at Acts 2 verse 4. And it says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So, okay, so that happens. And then it says, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we see we've got the wind and the fire, that the kind of precursors to the true download of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says, and remember, you get the Holy Spirit at conversion. When you surrender your life to Christ, you receive the grace gift, you get the Holy Spirit. But we see that there's a filling that Jesus said to wait for. And he's going to send the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be filled and empowered to be witnesses, to tell people about me everywhere. And lots of other scriptures that tell different things of benefits of the Holy Spirit. And I'll share those in a minute. But when you and I get the Holy Spirit at conversion, we have access now to the benefits of the Holy Spirit, of being empowered by the Spirit. And so, but it says we can be filled and increasingly filled and ongoingly filled with the Spirit. And so this is beautiful. Now, and sometimes people use the word baptism in scripture. It sometimes says baptism, be filled, several different words. And different church backgrounds kind of look at it differently, but same Holy Spirit, filling and baptizing, I like to say immersing us, saturating us in the Spirit, so that we can see the benefits of that empowerment. It's just like, back to the appliance analogy, it's like we're like turning on the switch, we're accessing the power that we're plugged into, but by saying, Holy Spirit, fill me, boom, we just, and he's like, he ignites the power. He gives us the dunamis power to walk this life out. So when you're filled with the Spirit, I just put a list on the screen of some of the benefits of that. What are some of the results and the benefits? Fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians 5:22-23, I'll read you that in a minute. I'll read you the list, but so many benefits of the fruits growing on the tree of our lives. And I'll read in a second. And then also, we just have this, we grow, when we're empowered with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, we have a desire to love God and others that goes beyond our own agenda in supernatural ways, even when it doesn't make sense. Like, they're treating me really poorly, and yet you have a love for them, and God gives you a love for them that you wouldn't have, especially those who are treating you poorly, like your enemies. And we can live a Spirit-led life, John 16:13, where there's power to be a witness, Acts 1:8 that we read last week. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. So it's so key to have truth in our lives. Truth, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who leads us into all truth in every area of our life. We grow in knowledge and wisdom, John 14:26. We have access to spiritual gifts, the toolbox of heaven, in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, and chapter 13 as well, where he talks about love and the power of being filled with the Spirit, and how love becomes this fruit. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, and it's so beautiful. As a matter of fact, let me read you the fruits of the Spirit passage, just verses 22 and 23 of Galatians 5. It says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Okay, here's the fruit that happens when you're filled and empowered by the Spirit, daily surrendering, daily walking, not in your flesh, because you can walk in your flesh. Even as a believer, you can choose. You don't have to. You're not a slave to your flesh any longer, but you can walk in a fleshly way, or you can walk in the Spirit. Like, read Romans, all of Romans 8. It's a beautiful passage about that. But here it says, the fruit of the Spirit is this. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Right? Here's the fruit growing in your life when you're the Holy Spirit does this in your life. You're empowered and filled. Love. Awesome. Joy. Need more. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. So that fruit, you and I, it's not a one time you get, when you have an apple growing on an apple tree, it doesn't start full grown. It grows from that small seed, and it begins to increase in size. And just like you and I think in this gifts, not just the gifts of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit, there's a process of it growing in our lives, right? Our love can grow. Our patience can grow. Our kindness and our gentleness and our self-control and our faithfulness. And in times where we go, man, I'm just not as patient as I need to be, we say, Holy Spirit, fill me up and grow greater patience. I am going into this situation where I know I need your patience. This week, I have some situations where I need incredible patience. And I've been praying, God, help me to be kind. Help me to be patient. Help me to represent you well. And he's been doing that. It's beautiful. But I know it's because the Holy Spirit is empowering me to do that and to walk that way. So good. So it also says here in Acts 2 verses 4, if it's not on the screen, put it back up. It says, we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and we'll begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this speak with other tongues, what's happening here? Well, the disciples in the context of Acts 2, remember the Pentecost, the Jerusalem is packed with people. They've been waiting for 10 days. They've been praying and worshiping. The Holy Spirit comes, tongues of fire, sound of the rushing wind. They're filled with the Spirit and they're worshiping God. And I think people, because there's people everywhere, they're hearing these believers. And but they're not just hearing the believers pray and worship in any tongue. They're hearing them in their own tongues. And there would have been at least 15 distinct people groups, probably more, based on different groups and regions that were listed here in Scripture, but also different dialects in those regions. And it says they were hearing in real human languages of the peoples that were gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And so this is an incredible thing that's happening here. And so this miracle is both in the speaking these, and the people who are speaking these languages didn't know the languages. Like, they hadn't studied the multiple languages. So the Galileans that were there are all speaking now supernaturally, empowered by the Spirit, in the tongues, the real languages of the people gathered in Jerusalem. Yeah, is incredible. And so it was a miracle in both the speaking and probably the hearing as well. The people were understanding clearly what was being said. And what was the purpose of that? Well, it was evangelistic. It was outward facing. They were letting people know about the amazingness of the God of our God. And it was a sign to the unbelievers gathered in Jerusalem, this very international crowd. And so Acts 2 kind of tongues that are being represented here is an intelligible language used to reach people, right? That's the kind of tongues that are being spoken of here. Now, if there's another listing of tongues that it's available to believers when you're empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit, represented more in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. And let me just read you two verses there. Same Holy Spirit giving the tongues. This the tongues that were happening here in Acts 2 amongst the believers were in known languages of the people gathered there. So the Holy Spirit was empowering them to be a witness in the very language, makes sense, so that the people who were gathered there could understand. What a supernatural event. What a supernatural moment. And I've heard even modern day examples of this happening. People going to foreign countries and they didn't study the language, but God gave them in the moment a supernatural ability to speak the language of the people in their tongue, in a language they didn't learn through education. I mean, that's incredible. Now, there's nothing wrong with learning another language. I think that's really brilliant if you don't know the language, to study it, learn it, so that you can communicate with the people. But sometimes God does what he did here. He empowers people because he knows the situation, he knows the people, and he'll empower them to speak supernaturally in an intelligible language of the people who need to hear the good news of the gospel. But also, he gives us a unknown heavenly language, access to that, a spiritual language that's available when we're filled and empowered, baptized with the Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, just two verses, it says this about speaking in tongues. It says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to who? But to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." So the Apostle Paul here is speaking of a heavenly language that's available as believers to you and to me. And I speak in tongues every day. It's beautiful. I love it. It's a tool in my tool belt, that prayer language that I have. And I love it. I love it. And look what it says in verse 4. It says, "He who speaks in a tongue does what? Edifies himself," or builds himself up. "But he who prophesies edifies the church." So prophecy is meant to encourage, build up, exhort the church. But in this case, this tongue, if it's just spoken privately, is meant to edify me. If I'm speaking in tongues, it edifies me. It builds me up. It's a supernatural language that encourages me. A prayer language between God and I is beautiful. And so it's primarily vertical. It's prayer and praise, speaking mysteries this way. But in Acts 2, it was a known language, supernaturally endowed to speak to the people evangelistically. But also, I didn't put it on the screen, but also if you keep going down in 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about a corporate tongue even. And if there's a corporate tongue given, there, it says make sure there's somebody there to interpret it. Because if a tongue is given, we need the interpretation, the language of the people who are gathered there, so that it will edify and benefit them. All right, so you're seeing not two different Holy Spirits, same Holy Spirit, but expressed differently based on the context and the purpose. So in Acts 2, the Spirit is empowering for the mission outward. And in 1 Corinthians 14, the Spirit is building up the church inwardly, building up an individual or the corporate gathering that people gathered, the believers. So, okay, wait, are you saying, Kevin, that if I'm filled with the Spirit, that I will speak in tongues? Good question. You don't have to, but I like to say you get to. I know people who are, I believe, are filled with the Spirit that don't speak in tongues. I believe you can be filled with the Spirit. And as I mentioned to you in that list, some of the greatest evidences of being filled with the Spirit is all of a sudden you have a supernatural desire to witness to other people, to share your story. You begin to see the fruits of the Spirit grow in your life. But also you don't want to ignore the gifts of the Spirit. They're available. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophecy, tongues, that's available. You don't have to speak in tongues, but why would you not want all the gifts of the Spirit? Why would you not want? And Paul says, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. Like, why not go after all God has, right? So it's not a salvation issue, but it is a access to all the bennies that God has. So that's how I like to look at it. So let's keep going in the passage. Acts 2, 5 to 13 says, "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together," and it says they were confused, "because everyone heard them speak in his own language," right? Which I already talked to you about. "And they were all," what? "Amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues. What did they hear him speaking? The wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they're full of new wine. A few at the end, a few mockers are like, these guys are drunk up here. They're having such a good time gathering and worshiping after the Holy Spirit falls upon them and fills them. They're partying with God. I mean, it's incredible. And they have to go, I'm speaking in a language here I've never learned by natural means, supernaturally. And then the people who are hearing it from all these different regions and places are going, wait a minute, I'm hearing that. I'm hearing my language. I'm hearing a Cretan language here. I'm hearing an Arabian language, Egyptian. What? Whoa, what's going on? It says they were amazed and they were perplexed. And so, so beautiful and so challenging and so, and one of the things it says in verse 7, if a couple of verses down there, it says they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? Why was that so interesting and why is that in there? Well, because the Galileans were the undereducated, uneducated people, more backwoods folks of the day, kind of our kind of people. I don't mean to point fingers at you, but you know, they weren't the city dwellers, and they weren't an impressive group by any means. Great people, high value, but the people gathered in this, from all the different places are coming together going, not only does this not make sense, that it's pretty amazing that we're hearing, you know, perfect Egyptian being spoken, but it's coming from a Galilean. That just is like, they're perplexed by that. They were amazed by that. Even all the more, like if you can imagine coming to Lewiston and all of a sudden this metropolitan group shows up and they're speaking perfect Italian, perfect French, perfect Spanish, perfect Russian, Swahili, Portuguese, and all these languages are happening in a worship service and people are speaking the truths about God and the kingdom. And those people groups walk in and go, I'm hearing perfect Russian about God and extolling the things of God. I'm hearing perfect Portuguese. I'm hearing perfect Spanish. Oh my goodness. And yet I can tell all these people are Galilean. All these people are from Lewiston, Idaho, not from these other places. Perplexing, crazy, supernatural. It's got their curiosity piqued. And really, that's my number three point, is that the Spirit-filled life starts conversations. Look what happens in verse 11 to 13. It says, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So what they were speaking was glorifying and worshiping God. It was speaking about God's amazing works. It says, they're all amazed, perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mock, saying, they're full of new wine. And so I just envision the crowd that's gathered there listening in on this and I just love that when you and I are filled with the Spirit, they're filled with the Spirit, and they're worshiping and praising God, and they're speaking of the wonderful, amazing works of God. And what it's doing is, as we're testifying of who God is and what He's done and what He's accomplished in our lives, in creation, and whatever they were saying in that moment, it was piquing the curiosity. It was going to begin a conversation, and we're not going to cover it today, but right after that, Peter gets up, right? Because he sees the people have gathered. The people are stopped. They're curious. They're waiting. They're looking. They're paying attention. And Peter preaches this incredible sermon, and thousands come to Jesus in that moment. Thousands of people, and the church is birthed. And thousands are added that day. I mean, like, wow. And why did that happen? And how did that happen? It happened because God's timing is perfect. He told them to wait, and I'm going to send the Spirit. When the Spirit comes, which it does, they're empowered and filled with the Spirit, and supernatural fruit starts to happen. And boom, the gospel is proclaimed, and the mission begins in a powerful and amazing way. And so I just want to pray for us today. I want to pray for you that are tuning in, because you might go, Kevin, can I have access to that power of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Yes, you can. It's available. They're waiting because this is the first time it was poured out like this, right? It came upon them. And I believe today, you and I, if you've surrendered life to Christ, if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. But I believe there's a continual filling that we can ask for every day. Ephesians 5:18 says that. Be filled with the Spirit. It's be continually and increasingly filled with the Spirit. And so let me pray for you. And I'm going to pray for myself and any of those who are tuning in. Let's believe God to fill us afresh. Let me pray for you. Holy Spirit, just like in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit came and you filled them with the Spirit. Lord, one of the ways that was manifested in that moment was they began to speak in the actual languages of people gathering and listening that were walking by the room they were at. And they were hearing in their own tongue. They were hearing in their own language. They were hearing them speak about your amazing works. God, would you fill us afresh with your Spirit? Lord, fill us up. Lord, we want to have the fruit of the Spirit growing in our lives. We want to be daily led by your Spirit. We want to be empowered for the mission. Lord, we want to walk in greater victory in every area of our lives. Any area of the flesh that we're battling with, Lord, we ask that you would help us to overcome any sin issue, any addiction issue. Lord, by your power of your Spirit, Lord, would you lead us into the truths we need today? Would you give us patience and kindness and gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, Lord, all of the fruits of the Spirit, grow those in each person tuning in and listening today. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being filled afresh with your Spirit today. And I'm just going to take a minute. I'm just going to be quiet and then I'll wrap it up. Fill us, Lord. Just have a posture of receiving right now. Thank you for your filling. Lord, wash with the water of your word, just in water your Spirit. Would you purify anybody? Would you create a clean heart, oh God? Lord, fan the fire, fan the flame. Lord, purification there too, Lord, but boldness for mission, passion. And Lord, I pray for the oil of your Spirit to be healing, anointing. Lord, even bring healing to those listening today that need a healing touch. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you. See you next week.